So I'm very happy to be you here today. Like all things which are impermanent, I am too. So 2 days ago I started to, I think, because we're also interdependent, catch a call from somebody else, possibly my very friendly taxi driver. And so my voice is a little weird. I hope I won't be too gross and be relatively polite, hopefully. Not sneeze too much or blow my nose too much, but I might have to do so at some point. So the title, is anybody here who has never done any meditation? Yeah, nowadays everybody has done meditation, so very practical. But the format of the day will be that we will I will give a talk for about 30 minutes, then we will have 30 minutes of sitting meditation, then 30 minutes of walking meditation, then 30 minutes of sitting meditation, then 30 to 45 minutes of discussion, and then we will have lunch. We'll be over there, it will be not in silence, but here it will be in silence. I will explain that later. And we'll have a break of an hour 15 minutes, and then we'll do the same in the afternoon. So the title, I mean, we always ask to give a title. So the title, this title, I mean, I have a few titles I recycle, and sometimes I think of new titles, you know. I work hard. And the title I suggested is A Question of Identity. And I know, you know, Buddhism is relatively well known for this concept often called no self, which is a translation of the term anatta, A-N-A-T-T-A. But actually, you might translate it possibly better as not self. So that the idea is not that there is no self whatsoever, and that if you practice meditation and mindfulness long enough, you might disappear in a puff of smoke. But more to look at, and that's what I want to do today. Not when I talk about a question of identity, I'm not interested in way today we're talking about emptiness. We're not like looking for an empty identity. Actually, I'm looking personally what is interesting for us as lay people living in the world. What does our identity rest upon? What kind of identity are we building? And how am I relating to the different blocks of my identity? This is really what I want to look at today. So what I would like to start with is a poem. Somebody's coming. Could be nice if he heard it. It's a nice one. Yes. Maya. And there is two chairs here. One here, one there. Okay, so the poem is, and this is a poem by Dogen, who was a great Zen teacher in the ancient time. And that's what he said. The way of the Buddha is to know the self. To know the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all things. So this is through the day, I want to look at different aspects of that. The first one this morning I want to look, to start with in a way, is the way of the Buddha is to know the self. And so in a way, I would say that I presume most of you must have heard the term mindfulness, and I presume you've done mindfulness meditation, as it's quite popular. And there is a chair here. And in a way, what do? When we're mindful of the breath, when we're mindful of the body, mindful of the feeling tone, mindful of the thought, mindful of the body, we actually are doing that. We're actually getting to know ourselves better, I would say, in an organic, experiential way. Because often, we have a strange idea about ourselves. It's very interesting. There is an experience itself, and then I would nearly say there is a commenting on the experience. So, are we experiencing ourselves? Because identity, what's the identity formed by? Personally, I would say we are an organism. And this organism is a flow of condition, a flow of inner conditions meeting outer conditions. And so I would say when this phrase is the way of the Buddha is to know yourself, I would say part of this mindfulness practice or any meditation, Buddhist meditation practice, is actually to discover, to explore all the conditions that forms us, the inner meeting the outer. But we're not going to do this whole thing today, don't worry. Because personally I feel that as we practice, we actually discover more different type of conditions. But what is also interesting, and that's where this idea of anatta, of not self, comes in, is the fact that in a way, a question of identity is, do I have a fixed identity? Often we feel we have a fixed identity. When we react in very automatic way, it's very hard not to think, I am such a person. You know, you might say, I am an impatient person, I am a kind person, I am an intellectual person, I am a creative person, I am somebody who is great with DIY, do it yourself. I am hopeless at DIY, that's the definition of an identity, you know. Something doesn't work. I don't know. I don't do DIY. So, in a way, when we with identity, I think the problematic we have identity is when we fix identities, when we reduce our identity. Instead, I think the practice of meditation is to help us to see two things. That many things come in this, what I would call this identity, this organism. And at the same time, some of the things that constitute the identity are relatively stable. I mean, through the day, I doubt very greatly, but you know that, you know, the universe could be kind of do a little magic trick today, but I doubt that suddenly in the middle of the day, I doubt I will become a giraffe. I doubt I will move from being a human being to being a giraffe. This, I think, is kind of relatively unlikely. This would be a really major, major change. But it's possible, you know, I could have a heart attack. I hope not. I mean, things like that could happen. But up to now, this has not happened. So, in a way, I presume this whole day we will be relatively here in the shape we are, you and me. You're not going to become little funny rabbits either, I doubt it. So there is a certain continuity. And so that's why often we fix our identity on the what is kind of relatively continuous. And at the same time, there is change. I think that's why the mindfulness of meditation helps us to be more in tune. We've seen, yes, there are something which are relatively continuous, and there are something which are more little kind of, you know, subject to change. And so it's kind of like, in a way, seeing that the identity at one level is relatively stable, at another level is relatively open. And so in a way, the way of the Buddha is to know yourself. I think it's very much about that. It's very much about seeing that, yes, I am constituted of this different thing, and I'm manifesting in this different way. Not what I would like it to be, not what it should be, not some abstract notion, but I think this is really what can help us with the meditation. For example, when we sit in meditation, I mean, you have thought, and often you think that when you meditate, you should not have thought. But, I mean, when you sit in meditation, would the aim of the exercise be to stop hearing? I presume not. That's not your intention. So the same, the aim of the exercise is not to stop thinking. But thinking can be information. And of course, you might sit in meditation and be the type of person who sits. I just encountered somebody like that. And she was really worried because I kept talking about people having thought. And she said, I sit, I have no thought. I mean, is there some problem with me? I said, no, 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 this is fine. So, if you have no thought, fantastic. Why not? And lots of people, most of the people have thought. And I find what is interesting there is actually when you have a thought, what are you saying in the thought? Because of a lot of what I would call the selfing, the identity making, is in the thought. Am I the kind of person who is blaming myself? Am I the kind of person who is kind of going into heroic fantasy? Am I the kind of person who is... how does it work? And to me, that's what was very interesting when I started to meditate. I suddenly realized a lot of my thought were about me. And so I kind of suddenly, through the mindfulness, through the meditation, I did what the first phrases of the poem is, the way of the Buddha is to know yourself. And in that moment, I realized, oh, all my thoughts, they're about me. What about me? Look at me, my plan. When before I had this impression, I was this compassionate person. So which gave me the impression I always thought about others. And I realized, no, 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 no. That's what the knowing yourself is about. But I think here you have to be very careful. This knowing yourself is not in order to pin yourself down. We are not like a radar looking at ourselves. Or we're not trying to analyze ourselves in minute detail. So we have to see the difference between being mindful of our experience and being self-conscious about our experience. To me, this is a big difference. And here again, question of identity, when we become self-conscious, it's kind of like there is a little kind of fixity, a little intensity, and a little tension. And it's kind of like you become conscious, self-conscious because you made a mistake, or you become self-conscious because you said something wrong, or you become self-conscious because everybody look at you and you think, oh, what have I done? And so generally, but when you feel self-conscious, it's not just a thought. Actually, it's a feeling. And so I think in terms of identity, what is interesting is how to see how it comes together. So with the mindfulness, is as much being mindful of the thought, what we think, how we think, but so mindful of our, in a way, emotion life in the body, mindful of our sensation, mindful of our relationship. And that's what that I will talk later in the afternoon. In the morning, I want to look more at these first two parts, which is the way of the Buddha is to know yourself. To know yourself is to forget yourself. And the forgetting of the self, again, it's not that the self disappears, but that there is much more spaciousness. Because I think often also what happens and where the mindfulness can be very helpful is when we actually often, you have this, we constituted of many different things. Our thought, our feeling, our sensation, the relationship we have with the world, how it impacts on us, how we impact on it. So there are many different things that constitute us, that constitute this identity. But often what happens is that we reduce the identity to one thing. So you might reduce the identity to one thought, you might reduce the identity to one emotion, you might reduce the identity to a sensation, you might reduce your identity to a problem or whatever it might be. And that generally is quite painful. To kind of suddenly, it's like you grasp at a thought, a commentary, an idea, whatever, and then suddenly you cannot think of anything else. And in a way you reduce yourself to that. Or you have a sensation and you might reduce yourself to that. Or you have an illness and you might reduce yourself to that. Or you might have a kind of, you know, let's say you might be an impatient, irritable person, or you might be an anxious person. And then you might kind of reduce yourself to that. I'm always anxious. I'm always impatient. But then that's where there is a kind of the gift of impermanence. That actually we can have a tendency to be a certain way in certain conditions, but we are not like that all the time. And this is what is interesting with the mindfulness meditation, to realize the impermanence of some of these conditions that define, that our identity rests upon. And so in a way, when we sit in meditation, so the first meditation I would recommend, most people generally know it, and if you're comfortable with it, we can just start with the breath, and then the next one, we can do the mindfulness of the body. But we just be aware of the breath, so that being aware of the breath, we can be aware of the air coming in, coming out, and just kind of following the breath, resting our attention on the breath. And then, of course, we might have certain thought. And what is interesting, some thought will appear. Oh, did I bring this, or did I forget that, or whatever, light stuff. And then suddenly there might be something which kind of stick. And then we go into it. And what is interesting to notice, has it got to do? Of course, we can go into planning and things like that. But what is interesting is when this kind of selfing arises and it becomes a little more solid. I am going to do that. I have to do that. And this happened to me. And I am like this. And whatever it is. And in a way to see thought as a creative functioning of the organism, to discriminate, to perceive, to make meaning, and thought as a mechanism to, in a way, solidify the identity. And personally, I believe that meditation over time helps us to diminish that level of selfing with the thought, that all this thought about me, mine and everything, which, I mean, we are, I am myself, I don't need to think all the time about myself. I mean, you know, I'm experiencing it. Why think so much about it? You know, unless I really need to for a certain purpose. And I think that's what the meditation helps us to dissolve a bit, is all that mental selfing, which I would say is not so required. And then we can use the thinking mechanism more as creatively engaging with our situation, using our different ability. And it's the same with the emotion, it's the same with the body. And so in a way, as we sit in meditation, as we try to anchor in the breath, but anchor in the breath within a wide open awareness. So we hear sound, there are feelings, sensation, thought. Noticing a little bit, in a gentle way, so not in a self-conscious, judgmental way, but more noticing. Can I just exist? Can I just exist without so much self-referencing. That's what is fine. It is interesting. Can I just be aware of the breath? Can I just come back to the breath? Come back to the breath. And then I go off this, that, or I feel some feeling, or I have some sensation. Can I just have the thought and not do anything with it? Can just have an emotion, a sensation, a feeling without doing anything with it? Can I have a sensation with just experiencing it and not doing necessarily this selfing, self-referencing? So this is, this morning, what I thought we could explore, experiment with. So does that makes relative sense? Okay? But at the same time, try to really use the coming back to the breath to really come back to the experience. So this is what is interesting with the meditation, is that we try to anchor in the breath do we have a chair? Or can you sit on the floor? It's okay? And so, because when there is this idea of identity, sometimes we kind of go in all kind of knots. So it would be nice not to do that. But just to play around with it. So really see the anchoring in the breath, and seeing that when we come back to the breath, we come back to the whole moment. That, I think, is what is interesting with that. And also we come back of the creative functioning of the organism. And then we kind of, you know, fix it here. But that's okay. It's kind of what we do. I think it's kind of a basic survival evolutionary mechanism. So it's fine. But we can notice how it manifests without making it complicated, and then gently coming back to the breath. And within that, of course, we have the all element of the environment. So because it's a little windy, we will have some sounds. And just to notice what is interesting with the sound, when we try to be aware of the breath, is that when we hear the sound, then it brings us back to the breath. So that actually all the sound around us can be like bells of mindfulness. So, shall we try it? So first we stand up.